Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC, and as at least 500 of you know, last night I moderated a public forum on education reform at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center, NJPAC, in Newark. We had an overflow house at the 500-seat hall to talk with Mayor Cory Booker, District Superintendent Cami Anderson, and other panelists about the school improvement efforts in the city of Newark that are relevant not just to Newark but to most places these days, including charter schools, teacher evaluations, and in Newark's case, $100 million from Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. It was very informative. It was also pretty raucous at times, as in that clip we played before the news, with a lot of emotion among students, teachers, parents, others in the audience who felt strongly about the issues and their lives. At one point, a group of students broke into a chant that included, "Cutbacks, fight back," as we heard a couple of minutes ago. So we'll play some excerpts now and talk to two of my fellow journalists who are also asking questions at the forum, New Jersey Public Radio managing editor Nancy Solomon. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Brian.
And John Mooney, editor of NJ Spotlight and a longtime reporter on New Jersey education issues. Hi, John.
Hi, Brian.
And let's begin with an excerpt from an exchange I had with Mayor Booker near the beginning of the event about charter schools. I asked him about a common critique of the charter movement's effects, that even if charter schools are better than traditional public schools, don't they have to fix every school anyway because other kids are still in those schools?
Our kids, which are all of our children, go to magnet schools. They go to district schools. They go to unique type schools like Harriet Tubman here in Newark. They go to charter schools. They even go to schools like St. Benedict's or Chad School, which we used to have in Newark, and other great models. They're all our children. And so that's really what the goal is in Newark right now, is to create a system of high-performing schools. Let's not talk about necessarily focus on the type of school, but really on student outcomes. And so that every parent in our city has a choice of high-performing schools to send their kids to.
But is that to say that you need a diversity of system? You need charter schools and district schools in order to reach every kid? Just to push back on what some critics say, why, if you're going to create every school as an excellent school, why do you need a separate charter system?
Again, so I'm sorry, I just don't believe one school model fits all. I just don't. And I think that you have a diversity of schools because you have a diversity of kids. And I do believe that parents should be able to choose the type of school that best serves their kids.
Mayor Booker from our forum last night. So, John Mooney, I thought that was really a central message, at least of the first part of the forum last night, and maybe a central message of all the people involved in the contemporary school reform movement when it comes to charters, that there is no one model of school that works. So charters are not about replacing traditional public schools or necessarily busting the unions and putting everybody under that model, but offering a variety of alternatives of models of schools. How did you see his answer and that effort playing out in Newark?
Well, I mean, he has been espousing this for a long time. He served on the founding board of a charter school in Newark, and certainly that argument has rung very strongly in the city. It's one of the largest concentrations of, at least proportional to the total enrollment, concentrations of charter schools in a single city, certainly in New Jersey, but even nationwide. And several of them have been highly successful, and certainly, that is, to their credit, these schools that have done well and done well by their kids. There's just a lot of tension in that city that the charters are draining from the public schools, and or the tradition, they're all public schools, but the traditional, the Newark public schools, the district schools, and certainly they the way the system works in New Jersey is that the local district pays for kids to go to charter schools. So this is money coming out of a district that is, for all the money spent in that district, it sends a lot of money out to charter schools as well, and that And then you see, to a degree, some of these issues which we raised last night of segregation, or, well, I wouldn't say necessarily the word segregation, that's been raised by some critics, but certainly of access to these schools and whether they're serving the same demographics as the rest of the city. And so you have this sense that there's some creaming going on, and that, and it came up again last night, that maybe kids are getting counseled out of the school and the like, and there's certainly a perception of that, and that leads to just a lot of tensions, and you heard it. I mean, that was we started off on charters last night, and it really fed into what was a fairly lively audience. I mean, they ended up being the seventh, eighth, ninth panelist, for sure. They were chiming in on virtually every answer given. And right. You know, especially around charter schools.
In basketball, they say the crowd is the sixth man. And we certainly had the ninth panelist, or I guess it would be the seventh panelist, 500 people in the hall last night, Nancy.
Yeah, and all representing different points of view, too. I mean, it wasn't a single voice by any stretch. I mean,
right. There were a lot of very enthusiastic charter school students, for example, who really seemed to, I mean, just judging from the points at which they applauded, who really appreciate the education that they're getting at their schools. And when supportive points were made from the stage about charter schools, they were doing some of the hooping and hollering. Nancy?
That's right. I mean, we had all perspectives there last night, and there was a lot of outspokenness. I want to unpack one thing that John said. You know, it is, I think, such an interesting point of tension in the community when, and what does it mean being counseled out of a charter school? So kids who are not performing on the standardized tests as well as some of their peers are this is, parents say their kids are, they're being told that the school is not the right fit for their kids, and they're finding, and that their kids are being sent, they're being counseled and pushed to go back into the local district school population. And you know, and what they're, you know, the subtext of that is they're saying that the performance and the test scores of these schools are affected by the fact that they're not serving all children like the district schools are serving.
Let me add one quick thing on that, just to the defense of charters, and it came up, is they have, Newark is very, the charter community in Newark is very aware of these perceptions, and has entered, a lot of the schools have entered into what is basically a contract or a compact, where at least they've vowed to make a greater effort to reach a broader number of kids to keep the access going. And so I don't think this is falling on deaf ears within mm-hmm. the community at all. And there have been some real strides in that. And that has not happened elsewhere in the state. Newark is really organized around that. And I, you know, to their credit, for sure.
And I thought Superintendent Anderson acknowledged that last night explicitly as well. Now, teacher evaluations are a hot topic everywhere in public education. And I thought one of the highlights of the forum was an eloquent and even inspiring description of evaluations done right by Superintendent Cammie Anderson and Erskine Glover, principal of the Quitman School, an experimental school where the principal is given great power to hire, evaluate, coach, and if necessary, to fire. And it's known as a renewal school. So, John, since we'll hear that term a lot in this excerpt, renewal school, can you give us a little background on what that is?
Yeah, and it's something that the state wants to make a big push in statewide. But in Newark, it is basically, this year it's eight schools. It's the lowest performing schools in the city. Two more are going to be added next year. And what they've done, Cammie Anderson, with the state's, you know, push, has created, you know, some special programs in those schools. Special powers for the principal. It also has an extended day. It has a parental push. These are meant to really, you know, go all hands on in these specific schools that have been low performing for quite a while. And you'll hear some exchanges about that.
And so we will hear. Then this is a longer stretch. This is 5.5 minutes, and we will hear the school superintendent Cammie Anderson later. It begins with the principal of the Quitman School, Erskine Glover.
I wake up every day knowing that the greatest position that I could ever have in America is being a principal. I have the opportunity to meet children. I have the opportunity to conversate with parents. I have the opportunity to I have the opportunity to meet with community leaders. And one of the things that we constantly talk about is what can we do to make the lives of our children better. The superintendent challenged all of her new principal hires with this. I want you to go out and create a mission and a vision that is going to take our students into the 21st century and make them college ready or career ready. And that first challenge was looking for teachers. And I'm going to be perfectly honest. We saw a lot of great resumes. We talked to a lot of great folks. We had input from our parents, because one of the things that needed to change at Quitman specifically was we needed a culture change. We needed to have some new energy, and new energy coming from folks who, we have a young lady who came fresh out of the private industry and says, I want to try this. And she's been one of my most dynamic teachers this year. First year teacher, no prior educational experience, but she was one of those teachers that brought some new energy.
Speak to those challenges. I mean, I think in the end you replaced about half of, correct me if I'm wrong, you replaced about half of your staff. And I know you were even working on this towards the end of the summer. And talk about, you know, the difficulty or not in hiring teachers that you thought were qualified. And the fact of the matter is you also kept some teachers who you may not have thought were, you know, the best fit for your school. Talk about that as a leader.
At the end of the day, one of the most challenging parts in the beginning of the process was to let folks know that you may not be back. And then letting the students know that there's going to be new faces in front of your students. That's difficult. That's a challenge to look to someone and say you may not be employed in the same role next year. That's never easy. The second part was in our interview process, college degrees don't necessarily mean you're a great educator. And for us, we know our community of learners. We needed to have the right faces in front of those students. We interviewed approximately 175 to 180 folks just to get to a nice working staff of 80. And I mean interviewed. This is not the vetting process. This is just interviewing. And you don't know really at the core. You have that, maybe I should take a chance, I don't know. That part's hard because the wrong face can do a lot of damage to a child. One bad teacher, a child goes through one grade of having a poor teacher, that cripples them, in my opinion, for at least 2 years. At least 2 years. So it was important for me to make sure that we put the right people in front of the students. So our goal was to make sure that we really took time to listen to the type of person coming through the door. And then at the same time, and this is important, to explain to them what it means to be an educator in an urban setting. That was important.
I do want to actually point out a couple things, because I know you like to go to the challenges, but there were some really good successes we skipped over in that answer. Number one, we have someone who's been in the system who was willing to reapply for his job, who himself went through an incredibly rigorous process because he believed in the opportunity to do something really, really great, right? That's the first thing. And we made we had a lot of principals who were willing to do that. I thought that was exceptional. And I think they did it because they believed that the current status quo was unacceptable. And we believed in the power of folks in the system to renew themselves and to get breakthrough results. That's about doubling down and investing in our system. The second thing that you heard was he had 300 applicants. He had 300 applicants because it is partly about money, but it's also about mission and success. And lots of people, I believe there are teachers in this audience, and I was one of them as a teacher too, who want to feel like they are part of something that is exceptional and making progress. That is a draw, and it was a draw for a lot of people. And finally, on the financial piece, what we were able to do, we didn't just increase the pay for a longer day, which I believe is fair. If you teach longer hours, you should receive more resources. That is in our contract. But we also have a pretty large incentive in there. Is if you are a high-performing teacher in one of our lowest-performing schools, in addition to the $3,000, you are eligible for a $10,000 bonus if you're also highly effective. So there are other financial incentives. What I'm trying to say, and I will continue to press on this, because the family satisfaction at Quitman is through the roof. And if you could talk to those families and put them in here, I believe in my heart and soul you would hear something wonderful.
There have been other reforms over the years of Renew Schools, and they're all called SIG schools is another. How long, your sense, and I'm not, you know, lay a tough timeline, but how long do they have to improve? And maybe I should start with, how long do you think you have to improve?
How much time do I have? I'm going to be perfectly honest. I want success right now. I don't want Cammy or Corey or anybody else to say, Principal Glover, you only have 3 years or we're moving you out. I want success this year. And I keep telling my parents and my teachers, if our school is not showing success within the next 18 months, then it may be time for you to look for a leader that can take you in that direction.
Erskine Glover there, principal of Equipman Street School in Newark. We also heard the superintendent of schools, Cami Anderson, and some follow-up questions being asked by NJ Spotlight editor John Mooney, who is with us, along with New Jersey Public Radio managing editor Nancy Solomon, excerpts from our Newark school reform event at NJ PAC last night. And Nancy, as we were listening to that, you were raising one of the tensions. That was such – I thought it was fabulous. I mean, really, I thought it was an inspiring account of teacher evaluations done right and at least saying the words of management done right, coaching done right, so everybody's pulling together for excellence. They're not playing gotcha with the teachers to try to get some points against them so they can fire them. It's really about let's all pull together and make this place as well, you know, as good a school as we can for the kids, not just get through the day and do our jobs and go home and get paid. But on the other hand, we were hearing probably the best articulation of best practices. And Superintendent Anderson, as you were reminding me, acknowledged that there are some principals who play gotcha with this new evaluation system.
Right. And it's a huge school district, and there are pockets, and she acknowledged there are pockets that are doing well, and Glover is a great leader in that building. And, you know, what I think is so interesting about education reform is the nuances of what it takes to build teacher morale and mission. I mean, it's easy to sit there on a panel and say, we have people, you know, this is a mission. But we had a really interesting exchange last night between a teacher who's the chief negotiator for the union, Michael Dixon, who's at Ivy Hill Elementary School, and Cami Anderson, the superintendent, about that teacher evaluation process. And, you know, he was recounting time and time again where teachers aren't really being fairly assessed by the principal, the leader in the building, and are told, if you don't like my evaluation, file a rebuttal. And then Cami Anderson responded, you know what? We have a lot of problems. We have a lot of buildings where the morale is low, and there is a lot of bad relationships between principal and teachers feel completely beleaguered. And that trickles down to the education of these children. And so it's so interesting because this is something you can't throw money at this. You have to improve the culture of the building. And so, you know, and Erskine Glover at Quitman is a shining example of a principal who is really engaged in his building and is doing a good job.
We're listening to excerpts from our NJ PAC event last night on school reform in Newark and by implication elsewhere. We'll continue in a minute with more excerpts and Nancy Solomon, managing editor of New Jersey Public Radio, and John Mooney, editor of NJ Spotlight. And your calls, listeners, if you want to weigh in on these issues, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Also, by the way, we have photos from last night, and we have the full audio of the two-hour event if you want to make your way through it at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, as we listen to excerpts of our education reform event at NJ PAC last night with Newark Mayor Cory Booker and Superintendent of Schools Cami Anderson, and a parent leader was one of the other panels who we're going to hear from next in this excerpt. And listeners, especially if you're from Newark, anybody can call, but any Newark voices want to sound off on the issues being raised here, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And, John, you want to set up this next issue for us? We're going to play the stretch near the end where the parent activist on the panel, Sharon Smith, addressed Mayor Booker directly on the question of how the Mark Zuckerberg gift to the Newark Public Schools, founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, gave him $100 million. And how that's being used. Do you want to set up some of the background for us here? What is that gift? What did Mark Zuckerberg have in mind? Why has it become contentious, and how contentious in Newark with respect to how that money is being used?
Yeah, it was a couple years ago. Founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, met Cory Booker at an event out west. I heard on a food line or something, and was convinced to make a big contribution to the city's public schools in general, and that would include certainly charter schools, and that's part of the tension. And it was $100 million matching gift, so they've also had to raise the other $100 million and are pretty close, if not already reached that point. And it began, I wouldn't say innocently, it got a lot of fanfare and obviously was announced on Oprah and Chris Christie made a big event of it. And what was interesting is Sharon Smith actually did some canvassing for it early on, which I didn't know until last night. And it was meant to, you know, go out into the community and see what is needed and then provide the funding, you know, the necessary seed funding to get a couple of these things going. And it's now 2 years in, and there's been some tensions of what came of it, and it has fed into some of these larger tensions about, you know, who's running the schools and you know, private entities and their roles in the schools and the like, and it clearly continues to be. It, as I think we'll hear the mayor speak, it has become a big player in terms of helping fund the new teacher contract in the city, but it's also mm-hmm. going to be going to charter schools and the like. And I think you'll hear a lot of that in this exchange.
And this exchange begins with some chanting and protests that were taking place in the audience, which will give you a little sense of the feeling there for much of the event. And then parent activist Sharon Smith talks to Mayor Booker.
Brian,
Mr. Mayor, if you have to leave before the final question, we understand.
Can I say one thing to our...
This is the kind of activism the city needs. This is the kind of activism our students need to take control.
Listen.
The more we stand up, the more we fight, the better our schools are going to get. So this is amazing, encouraging, and inspiring to see what our students are doing right now.
Sharon, what are you trying to... Sharon, you want to get in? And then Cammie, and then a student question?
I wanted to comment about the Mark Zuckerberg money. We have 30,000 children that attend Newark Public School. We have 7,000 that are in charter. Across the nation, it's 4% that's in charter school. But most of the time, the conversation is about 96% about charter. Tonight, even here, most of the conversation is not about traditional public schools. It's not about how much money is spent on schools that are not to simulate a charter school. Because we know at this point that some of the charter schools are not performing as well as the public schools. What happens to the children who are not participating in that? Because we know that in the beginning that charters were supposed to be a model of innovations, and they weren't supposed to be a competitive source for public schools. And so we have allowed folks with money to make us seem like it's a street fight when it's not. And where the money goes is very important. And so I'm concerned, Mayor, why isn't the money provided for all of the students in Newark, and why was it provided to just a few of the schools that are in renew school models, which at that point, the school has been dismantled, moved from a neighborhood school, and then the children are already 6 months behind, and when they get there, they have a principal like Mr. Glover who has a year to increase that, and that's impossible. So I would like to know where and why are we not getting monies for all the children in Newark?
So I just want to say, I think that what you were saying was absolutely true on a lot of levels, is that at the end of the day, the majority of our kids are going to district public schools, that we have to make sure that that's where the principal amount of energy and investment goes into. And so just so you know, the majority of the money that was invested from the matching grant from Mark Zuckerberg and the matching grant, the overwhelming majority of that money has been invested in our public schools. The biggest event, in fact, the biggest investment, and anybody can go on the Foundation for Newark Futures website right now and see exactly that. The biggest expenditure was invested in the teacher's contract to help all district school teachers. The teachers in the charter schools don't get that. The work that's been done to expand school day, the work for Common Core investment, the work for the Renew schools, which are district schools, the work for creative new models for of high schools. All of these are schools, district NPS schools. As is, frankly, as is the majority of the philanthropic money that you see coming from the list of foundations that, that Miche ran off from Prudential, Victoria, all of these groups know exactly what you just said so articulately, is this is where the majority of our kids go. We need to fix the district school system.
Mayor Cory Booker with parent and parent activist Sharon Smith at our WNYC New Jersey Public Radio Public Forum on Education Reform in Newark last night at NJPAC. We're talking about it with John Mooney, editor of NJ Spotlight, who is one of the journalists on the panel, and Nancy Solomon, managing editor of New Jersey Public Radio. And, you know, I was thinking during that exchange, what must be Mark Zuckerberg thinking? What must he be thinking at this point? Here is a guy, you know, billionaire though he is, who donates $100 million, and what question gets asked? The question, why are we letting rich people determine what goes on in our schools?
No good deed goes unpunished. I think probably Cory Booker is feeling a little bit of that pain as well. But you know what? It's, I mean, there's perception and there's reality, but the fact is, and it, what's so interesting about that clip of tape is it starts with the students protesting, and what they're upset about partially is not just cuts, but the fact that the Newark School Board is an advisory board, doesn't really have power. The state has for 18 years controlled the Newark school system. And so here you have private money, and this is what Sharon Smith is getting at, and this is what there's so much, it's some of it's suspicion, but some of it is just a real frustration and tension in the community around feeling that private money is coming in and is driving public policy decisions about what the reform is going to look like. And there's no one they can vote for except for Mayor Booker, which and he says, hey, I'm the elected representative of this community. So, you know, tell me.
And certainly you can understand, John, as I'm sure you do, that even if it's a nice thing that a lot of money is coming in from a well-intentioned donor, if that money is being used in a way to exacerbate inequalities because administrators have pet projects or for some other reason, then people are going to get outraged.
Yeah, and the, I mean, Nancy's exactly right. I mean, a lot of this comes back to the issue of the takeover, which was very contentious back then, hugely so, and has remained so in the nearly two decades since then. And it took a student, and to his credit, the last question of the night came from a student.
And we're going to play that clip in a minute, but
okay.
go ahead.
But I think, and to his credit, but I mean, this is a, you know, I think you raise a valid point. But in defense of the funding too, that a big chunk of that money went to those teachers, including in the room. I mean, that contract that the district, with the state's and Chris Christie's approval, entered into with the teachers, would not have happened without the funding from the FNF, and that serves every teacher in the building or every teacher in the district. So, you know, this has not necessarily gone to pet projects. I mean, it's gone to some infrastructure, but certainly there's also a big chunk of it's going to, you know, some of those things that you're talking about, and certainly, as Sharon mentioned, is going to some of the renewal schools, and certainly a very large chunk is going to be going to charter schools. So, you know, it's tough to have it all ways, but it is certainly fueling. It all comes back to what happened in the early 90s as they started fighting over control of the school, and it continues to this day. And I, to be honest with you, I think it's going to keep going. It's actually a matter in court now to a degree, and I certainly don't have any sense that the Christie administration is about to hand the reins back to the district.
I should say about the beginning of that clip where we heard all the chanting in defense of the students, that moment was almost at the end of the event when they started really disrupting for a couple of minutes and chanting cutbacks, fight back. This was not going on for 2 hours. They planned a moment, apparently, and picked a moment, and they had that that demonstration, which I thought was fine personally, and Mayor Booker was not about to run out on it. The event ran long, and he stayed over the time that we were told by his aides that he had to leave to go to another thing. So that's why that exchange took place at the beginning of it. But here is that final question of the event, and I did want a student to have the final question. And the one who got the floor asked the mayor about why the state has controlled Newark schools since 1996 and why the mayor isn't more outspoken against it.
My name is Andrew Plaza. I'm currently a senior at North Vocational High School. I am also the Newark Public Schools Advisory Board student representative, representing all students of Newark in the Newark Public Schools District. And I had a question for Mayor Cory Booker was, why don't you support local control of Newark Public Schools?
So I'm not sure where you got that impression. I support local control of our schools.
Where were you when Commissioner Cerf had blasted North Public Schools when we had scored 80% out of the CUSAC? You should have blasted him for saying we should have got back that control. Where were you when you were then? I would have thought you would have taken the mantle and told that man we deserved it. And he said we don't deserve it. That's a slap in the face to North students. All of us. That's a spit into the face. We deserve that. And for him to say something like that, it makes us feel so dumb. And I felt so upset from that. Because for so long, they've been calling us dumb. But for 18 years, the state has controlled us. And we're the dumb ones? I'm just saying. I just don't understand. All right. I truly do not understand.
All right, Mr. Mayor, a last response.
Again, so first and foremost, and this is the last response, so I'll just have some concluding remarks. I fully am encouraged by this, but especially I'm encouraged by the student activism. The reality, right, is the gentleman's right. We have, for 18 years, been under state takeover. But the reality is...
We get it.
Yeah. We get it. Look, at the end of the day, if we as a community stand up with the same passion our kids are showing and begin to do the kind of things that we must and need do... We'll start to see incredible change.
They want to know, are you petitioning the state for resumed local control?
And I've answered again. Brian, I appreciate the playing to the crowd, Brian, but I've said again, I support local control. I've supported it consistently. But until that happens, I'm going to support our kids and our schools right now.
All right, Mayor Booker and company at the event last night. Let's get some voices on the phones. Roy in Newark, you're on the air. Roy, hi.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, Brian, the thing that seems to be echoing in my head throughout that arduous meeting last night was accountability and evaluation. And unfortunately, I see accountability being contributed to the teachers via the students' test score. I see very little accountability being contributed towards the administrators. And there was even some talk about self-accountability or self-evaluation. And hence the word values come into play because naturally introspect is going to put one on the edge when it comes to evaluating him or herself. So my question is, how do we include the parents in this so-called evaluation process? Because at the end of the day, yes, the principals and the administrators mm-hmm. and the teachers mm-hmm. need to be evaluated.
Roy, thank you. Nancy, very briefly, because we're already over time, what is the role of parents in the teacher evaluation system as it's now being implemented, you know, now that the agreement has been reached in Trenton?
Right. I don't think there is a role for parents. It's based on test scores and principal assessment of, you know, observing the teacher and a portfolio of work that the teacher puts forward.
Zero role for parents. Even
as far as I know, John
so
might want
contact.
To dip in on this. Is he still with us?
Yeah.
Yep. And I think the only, I mean, Nancy's right that there isn't a formal role. I think it comes back to some of those issues of choice that we talked about earlier. And the only role they have is to maybe put their kid in another school.
Yeah.
And you know, it's where we began on this conversation.
Elena in Belle Meade, you're on the air. Hello, Elena.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Okay.
I'm a little bit nervous. I just talked to the person before about our experience. We were living in Newark, and finally my daughter started first grade in September, and we had to move. We tried everything. We tried the charter schools. We got a spot in one of them, but we really thought that it was too much for her. She didn't need that discipline, or it was like military. We tried other ones, and they just had like 13 spots. And I mean, the public school that she was attending in kindergarten, it wasn't very good. I told the person before that pre-K is really good. We took advantage of that. Pre-K 3 and 4, she learned English because we speak Spanish at home. And I think there is not just one solution. Motivate teachers. I don't know, but it's really sad. I told before the other person that the kids that are still there, they don't have the opportunities that probably my daughter is going to have where we live now.
The kids who are still in Newark, you mean? You mean the kids who are still in Newark?
Yes, yes.
I'm just curious, the charter school that your daughter went to, you said it had kind of a military-style approach that you didn't like for her. Did you say that there were other charter schools but with different approaches, but you couldn't get into them?
Yes. We tried the Robert Treat Academy, but they just had 13 spots.
Spots. And, Ellen, I'm sorry I have to leave it there. We're out of time for the segment. But, John, there's an example, you know, both of the difficulty for many families and of the fact that there are different charters trying different kinds of approaches. In our last minute, John Mooney, I gather you got a little pushback from various sides this morning about our event?
Well, yeah, I mean, not surprising. I mean, like in anything, there is some tensions even around when we try to bring folks together to talk about it. One person pointed out that it took a kid to a student to ask about the issue of student or of the state takeover, which is a valid point, and I'm thankful for that student to ask those questions. And then on the other side, there were some issues and whether even the reporters were being too hostile with their questions. So there you go. I think that comes with what we do, and but it certainly was. An important, I think, event. I think it highlighted some of the issues that are permeating the debates in that city. I also had a few people who, and I'll send out the invitation to you, who asked if WNYC will do more of these in Newark. So hopefully we can figure out a way to do that as well.
Well, let's do more with John Mooney from NJ Spotlight, who is on the panel of journalists, Nancy Solomon, managing editor of New Jersey Public Radio, who was on the panel with journalist Nancy. Onward and upward.
Yes, and I have to say thanks so much to Mayor Cory Booker and Superintendent Cammie Anderson. They sat there. They took a lot of heat last night. They took questions. They stayed the whole evening. It's all about community dialogue, and I thought it was a terrific civic event.
And listeners, we've posted the audio of the entire event on our page. You can go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, see some photos of the event there too. Also coming up on the show next, in honor of so many veterans marking the 10th anniversary of the Iraq War on the unemployment lines, we have Michelle Letterman, author of a free new book for vets called Heroes Get Hired. Stay with us.